the only way you're going to get into WhatsApp, it's like a real level of engagement and trust. I think, again, speaking from UK market where WhatsApp is quite sacred, you know, we all use it for families and things. I think if someone lets you into WhatsApp, that is a real like show of trust. Don't breach that trust, because if they don't like your emails, they can just unsubscribe. But I think a WhatsApp breach of trust is going to probably run quite a lot deeper, and you would just lose that customer.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with our format, we release 5-episode mini-series that dive deep into one e-commerce marketing topic. It could be channels like email or SEO or WhatsApp, or a big topic like acquisition retention or analytics. In each episode, new ones released on Wednesdays, I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. And then, after each 5-episode mini-series, we take a week off to give you time to take action on what you've learned. At the moment, we are in a 5-episode series all about WhatsApp. The first time we've ever covered WhatsApp. Last episode, we were super zoomed in on one set of tactical strategies. If you can have tactical strategies, I think you can. This time, though, we're going much broader to understand the wider WhatsApp space and how it will fit in with the rest of your marketing. And we are going to be going through 8 key mistakes you want to avoid if you want to make your WhatsApp marketing a success. And we've got the brilliant Rich Evans back on the show again to take us through this. So get ready for 8 mistakes to avoid. And do make sure you listen right to the end of the episode, because Rich's quickfire insider tips round is really good too. And then I'll share my take on it all and reiterate what those 8 mistakes to avoid are. Everyone's talking about automation, AI, personalization, but there's one big opportunity that many are still missing. It's conversational commerce using WhatsApp. In India and the Middle East, brands using WhatsApp to engage customers are already seeing 3 times higher engagement and up to 40% more repeat sales. Yet in the UK, most e-commerce brands treat WhatsApp like a support channel, not a revenue engine. That's where Quick Engage by GoQuick comes in. It helps you turn conversations into conversions. With smart automations for cart recovery and product recommendations, Instagram to WhatsApp automation, and IA-based support. If you want to build personalized buying journeys that actually sell, not just chat, it's time to get Quick Engage by GoQuick. Book your demo now via keepopt.com/quickengage. That's keepopt.com/KWIKENGAGE. Keepopt.com/quickengage. In this episode, I'm chatting with WhatsApp expert Rich Evans. Rich is the founder and reluctant managing director at Get Better, an agency focused on building personalized email marketing that helps their clients reach their full growth potential. Clients include Absolute Collagen, MyoMaster, and Pot Candles. Hello, Rich.
Hello, Chloe.
Lovely to have you back on the show. This time we're talking about WhatsApp. So how did you get involved with WhatsApp?
Well, it's lovely to be back on the show. It's always good to get a rebooking because it means that it hasn't done too terribly. WhatsApp. I think kind of pulled in on the basis of it being another channel. We obviously are an agency, so work on email, SMS, push notifications, and was aware of the sort of the bubbling away of WhatsApp and the excitement about WhatsApp was going to come. It was going to be the first new platform in quite a few years that we'd all be able to utilize. And so started swatting up on it, seeing where it was already being put to good use and things. And so, yeah, in preparation for its explosion into, I guess, more of the Western world.
It's an interesting one. You talk about the explosion, and I find it quite fascinating how in some countries, it's like the number one customer comms channel. India and some of the other countries in the Asia and the Far East. And then in the Western world, it's having very different reactions in different marketplaces. And as you say, the UK seems to be kind of on a slow bubble. It's quite a lot of talk, but not many case studies coming through yet. It's quite, I'm not sure I've ever known a comms channel in our space have such a diverse level of reaction in different marketplaces?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a nervousness. Like the excitement and the noise has definitely outweighed then the adoption. I think a lot of that is because big players and stuff started like entertaining it, but way too close to Q4 when people kind of put a bit of a freeze on, let's not do anything new and wild. Let's just, because it's such an important, crucial time of year for revenue and sales. I think there's cultural differences. I mean, I remember going to Canada 2 years ago over Christmas, and with all my cousins and stuff, when we got there, they're all Canadian. I was like, right, should we set up a WhatsApp group for while we're here and their stuff? And goes, don't really use it, can we do iMessage? And I was like, wow, I don't think I've used iMessage other than for verification codes or to be marketed to for quite some time. And I think it's that realization that we do all use different platforms and stuff. So yeah, I think India was really where it kind of has boomed, and that's where you see a lot of the big numbers and things. I think UK, we are more inclined to use WhatsApp for very personal sort of contact, family chats and things like that. I have a number of unread SMS messages, but my WhatsApp is kind of gospel. Like I use the unread tab to make sure that I don't leave anyone too long and stuff. So I think there's a nervousness around people not wanting to be marketed to in WhatsApp, maybe letting that govern how bullish they are on using WhatsApp as a brand. I think there's floodgates that are at the moment closed, but I think things are starting to trickle through, and I think some case studies will start to land. And then I do think 2026 is probably going to be the year of WhatsApp.
Yeah, I totally get where you're coming from with that, because it feels like the use case makes a huge amount of sense for a lot of brands. And I liked your point about Q4, people just starting to get into it over the summer. And they're like, oh, we're not launching this. We're not launching this now. Let's leave it till Q1. So yeah, I think we're going to see a very different WhatsApp adoption activity, certainly here in the UK, as we go through 2026, which is, I guess, one of the reasons why we're doing your topic of mistakes to avoid with WhatsApp. Because as you said, there was a big nervousness when SMS first became a marketing channel. And it almost feels like that's potentially greater nervousness with WhatsApp. So if we can run through things not to do to make everyone feel a bit more confident in doing, then I think that's going to make a lot of people feel a lot more comfortable and positive about giving it a go this year. So what's the biggest mistake we want to avoid when we get started with WhatsApp?
I think just using it as a broadcast platform. I think the other thing with WhatsApp is it is a conversational platform. That was the original nervousness with SMS, I think, and about, sort of, well, what if someone messages us back, or, and actually SMS is just really is a broadcast platform now. There's very rarely is there any consideration for a reply unless it's to stop. I audit a lot of CRM accounts, and generally speaking, you go in, and if there is a service desk functionality in there, you just see it's a bit of a graveyard of people that have maybe tried to ask a question and it's not been looked at. I think WhatsApp, the expectation is going to be for conversation. So it's also a very expensive way to broadcast. So billing sort of is different on different platforms regarding like how they do things. But generally speaking, you pay a somewhat bigger initial credit fee to send a WhatsApp. But then if there's a conversation that takes place, you can stay within that chat and have as many messages backwards and forwards over a 12 or 24 hour period, again, depending on the platform, where there's no extra cost. So it's a very effective way to have a conversation or close a ticket if it's customer services or, go back and forth, but a very inefficient way to purely broadcast. So I think that's probably one of the biggest tips, is to make sure that you're not just having it as another broadcast platform, and that you have got in mind that there's an expectation to converse on there. You want to be asking questions that trigger an answer. And so, yeah, that's probably the first thing to avoid, is don't just broadcast.
It is one of those pricing structures that does seem to push us towards what, as consumers, we would expect, I think, on WhatsApp. It's like, it's quite expensive to send one, so you're not going to blanket mail your, if you magically had your entire database subscribed to WhatsApp messages, you're not going to magically, you know, blast them all, because the cost would be horrendous compared to the, you know, the ROI is not going to be there. But to do it with targeted messages to people at key points on the buying journey, where you can then have a conversation to overcome their objections, there seems to be a very, I don't know, almost like a mystical alignment between pricing, use case, and assumed consumer behavior.
Yeah, I mean, it's more closely aligned to Meta Messenger, so Instagram Messenger, Facebook Messenger. And I'm old enough to have been around in a previous life, in a previous agency, where we were really on the cusp of when Meta monetized. And so we first had Meta advertising and things. We were dealing with a lot of big brand multi-unit businesses at that point. So pub chains and things like that, where you'd have one brand, but, you know, 110 in that one group, different channels and different platforms. Facebook Messenger became a really, really, really effective way of handling customer service questions. So taking things like off sort of main social media pages out of public view and into Messenger. But then you'd also have the opportunity to sort of take table bookings and so transact, if you like, in that sort of instance. You would then be able to set notes to go and follow up with people after they'd done that table booking to see how they went and see if they had a good experience and things. And I think that for me is where WhatsApp is going to become the platform. It's going to be in that sort of conversational commerce, customer service. And I think where customer service and marketing get, which is the part that excites me, because that's history and community management now in sort of e-commerce and CRM, the idea of customer service and marketing coming quite close together, where customer service can start being treated as an opportunity to win more business and to win customers over, and marketing can be seen to be having a customer service edge to it. So we're not just going to broadcast you should buy this because you bought this last thing. We're going to come at you and go, look, you know you bought this, what do you think of this, and then trigger what the next messages are. So yeah, it does excite me. I just don't know, there's a confidence level that needs to come up where, you know, case studies and things might be the way to do that. Also, I think there's a capability level as well. So the rise of AI agents and things like that, that are able to have these conversations.
So I reckon we're at three mistakes so far, and I want to dive a bit deeper into the third one. So we had, it's not a broadcast platform. It is conversational. Forgetting that is clearly a massive mistake and a massive missed opportunity. And then thirdly, this link up between customer service and marketing. And I was joking before we hit record about do not launch this without telling your customer service team. But it's not just about going, oh, guys, can you log in here once a week and have a look? It's got to be a much less siloed, much more integrated relationship between marketing and customer service if this channel is going to work for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the best, well, arguably only experiences I've had on WhatsApp so far have been customer service based. So one was with Southwest Water, and it was a throwback to my old community management sort of local social days and things, where, you know, the idea of a telephone customer service. So my issue was with Southwest Water. It was this time last year. I moved house 14 days before Christmas, wild decision. I needed to change addresses, but there was just a flaw in the system that I couldn't do it. Called the number, you know, you're one of 19 in a queue. And I'm not the sort of person that has like that much time to spare, especially when I've just moved house and it's the period before Christmas. So but it said, or we can talk to you on WhatsApp. And so that customer service query took like the best part of 24 hours, mainly because I would fire a message, they'd come back quite quickly, but then I'd go back in my own time. And that was a really, really positive experience for me. I got it sorted without having to spend a load of time on the phone. And it kind of won my trust. So I think that's the other thing we need to do is, you know, if you've got a pop-up and it's a two-stage pop-up at the moment, asking for your email and asking for your SMS. If you're going to add that third stage in, it's going to be WhatsApp. There'll be different arguments to say, well, WhatsApp should come first and things. But I think that the level of intent, it's going to diminish at each stage. So I think if, let's say that there's a a set of 25% of people serve that pop-up are happy to give you email, I think that will probably diminish down to about 12.5-10% would be willing to hand over their SMS. I think the amount in a UK-specific market at the moment, because that's where I'm operating, I think that would probably be as low as maybe 5 or 6%. But crucially, those people that do trust you to give you the WhatsApp, I reckon the conversion levels would be much higher because the form of engagement is so much richer. So I think we'll see all sorts of things about how much more effective than email WhatsApp is. And I don't disagree, but I think the volumes of people willing to hand over their WhatsApp and stuff to you, especially as a new acquisition level, is going to be really low. So I think it's going to be, I would start with transactional messages, win that trust, allow someone to edit their order, you know, and things like that. And then I think you probably have bought the ticket then to being able to put some post-purchase, cross-sell, upsell communication in there and see how it goes.
Okay, I'm going to call that number four. Don't start with, I feel like the secretary here, this is quite fun. Number four being don't start too marketing-y. Go service before marketing. And then I'm also going to say, because you touched there on consent, and I think that's another mistake that people are going to think, is, oh, we've got SMS subscribers. You know, we've got 20,000 SMS subscribers. Let's just send them all a WhatsApp. But we can't do that, can we? We start from zero with WhatsApp.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely polarizing views and differing views on this. I would always proceed with caution. But to be honest, compliance is obviously important. So you've got to make sure for the territory you're in that you get this right. And that's probably worth saying, it is going to be different in different areas and things. For me, though, what matters more is the customer experience. And I think I would definitely be really cautious about, I mean, I was privy to one brand the other day that was sort of forging on, and I asked for our help, and we just sort of said, look, we can't really align ourselves with this because we fundamentally don't think it's the best way to go. But it was sort of taking an SMS list of consent that was maybe gathered 12 months ago in a failed SMS test. So 3 months in, they binned SMS off, but we had the consent. It was locked in like a time capsule. So we've got 9 months of zero activity on SMS. And then it was like, right, we're going to try WhatsApp this time round. So we're going to just, everyone that we've got SMS consent for, we're going to fire out a WhatsApp to them on Black Friday at 9 a.m. in the morning announcing a sale. And I just, you know, regardless of whether or not the consent is right there, which I think needs some real clarification on, you know, from Meta, from platforms and stuff like that. But regardless of whether the consent was there, I just don't think that is a way to win a customer over and announce yourself into WhatsApp. So yeah, I think if that brand wanted to do that, then maybe Tuesday after Cyber Monday, all the people that had SMSs and hadn't marked them as spam or had emails open them and not converted, maybe it's a WhatsApp to say, hey, look, you missed out on our sale. We are now, you know, on WhatsApp. So, you know, as first port of call, we're going to give you the opportunity, and here's a code, you can use it. But I'd even advise against. I think I am a very cautious Colin when it comes to these things. And I just don't want to be the one that's responsible for the case study where it's like, here's how not to do WhatsApp.
Yeah, I think anyone sending their first message via any marketing channel on Friday of Black Friday, you know, morning of Black Friday, is a terrible idea. You're not going to see good results. You know, I might have done some kind of pre-warm-up, join our WhatsApp list for the best deal, you know, so they're opted in. But anyway, yeah. So don't assume consent, everyone. That's what we're saying for that mistake to avoid.
I think like a concierge, you know, that's how I would be selling WhatsApp. So, you know, sign up to email to get, you know, emails. You all know how that works. Sign up to SMS to maybe have the first access or quickest access and things to sales, to launches, exclusive this. Or sign up to WhatsApp for our concierge sort of service where, you know, we'll help you navigate our site, will help you, you know, recommend products and things like that. That for me is where the true value of WhatsApp is going to be.
So we've mentioned about the link up between customer service and marketing, and we've mentioned in passing AI agents. But, you know, I think the thread going between the lines of what we've been talking about is that the volume, you know, once you get past the in fact, even when you're doing the transactional, once you get into the world of abandoned baskets and upsells and all the rest of it, you can't have a human team dealing with that, because that's where the customer is expecting very fast responses, accurate responses, and so on and so forth. So at that point, we get into the world of AI agents. Any mistakes to avoid when we're turning this on, Rich?
I mean, plenty. It is, and I think that's probably why there's such a nervousness around it and things like, you know, especially brands that work so hard on their tone of voice, and then they're going to hand that over to, and if your only experience of AI is ChatGPT and, you know, the prompts and the vastly different like responses that you get. So it, look, these AI agents are way more developed, and you can train them with your tone of voice. You can train them to make the odd mistake. You can change them. You know, there's all sorts of things. I had a really good conversation with one of the partnership people live at an e-com event about this, where we sort of indulged a panel in front of a load of people, went off script and talked about how these agents are going to need to act. I think the other thing though, is you just need to have a structure and a plan in place. You need to get all of the team to go and try and speak to your agents and try and break them, try and do something, because that's what users will do, is if they sense they're speaking to an agent, they'll try and find a loophole, try and find a wormhole. You also have to allow for grumpy old men like me that the moment that they're speaking to a robot or like talk to a human, like, you know, like me, my dad, and probably every other generation, whereby you're going to have a quite clear communication that says, hey, no problem. Just so you know, our humans work from, and then the hours, if it's out of hours, or the response time for a human can be up to, so we're going to pass on your message now and hopefully they'll come back to you. And then again, hopefully you've listened to mistake number one and you've told customer services that you're doing this, and there is a way that they can then be, the pass off can go to them via a service desk. So whether that's a Zendesk, a Gorgeous, you know, whatever the platform it is that you're using, that there is a way then the customer service can pick up the conversation.
Yeah, and I suppose the one of the things to say on the AI agent front as well is that, of course, you're, depending on which piece of software you've bought to enable you to do the WhatsApp marketing, you're building an AI agent within their software, which their software should already have done some of the training towards a customer service person. So you're building on top of that rather than just getting a raw ChatGPT. So it should be a little bit safe, but yeah, you definitely still want to do all the testing and the trying to break it and see where it goes a bit crazy.
Yeah, and of course the agent won't have the entirety of the internet at its disposal. It will only have your lines of data, your integrations, your tone of voice and content sort of lessons and stuff. So it shouldn't be able to go rogue. But then I think that's the other thing that everybody is scared about. And I think there's going to be a nervousness around people wanting to hand over data to what they essentially now believe is going to be, you know, open source and available and things. So I think it's just a big old education. I don't think this is going to be like, I mean, this time last year, we were probably still having conversations about how TikTok search was going to take over the world and Google would be out of business and things. And I don't think I've heard that mentioned for the last 6 months as a genuine risk anymore. So I don't think this is that level of like ludicrousy. It is coming. It is going to be used. It's just, yeah, to what effect and to how widespread it's going to be.
Well, and of course, the other key thing with training any agent that's talking to your customers is making sure that the data you've given it to learn off is kept up to date. Because, you know, uploading an Excel spreadsheet of your products as they are now, it's not going to mean it's up to date in 3 months' time when the products have changed and the information's changed. You've got to make sure that is happening too. Is there anything we should be careful with in terms of WhatsApp being part of Meta, Rich?
Yes, I think that, so straight away, one of the big blockers as well is just the people misunderstanding that you've got to have all sorts of like business providers for your WhatsApp account. You've got to have a number, you've got to have a device and stuff. You haven't got to have any of that. This setup is actually crazy easy to sort of set up and things. I think, obviously, I operate in a world of email marketing and things, and I also am a receiver of email marketing, and there are people that use like outreach. And if there's anyone out there that's thinking, right, well, we'll just burn a WhatsApp account, we'll just go wild and we'll send all sorts of messages and stuff, and then once that gets burnt, we'll move on to the next one, I would just remind you it's like attached to your Meta advertising account. So I've not seen any evidence of like what happens if you upset them. Meta has got some pretty strict rules in, so you can't message more than 1,000 people to start off with until you kind of, you know, show Meta that you are a responsible WhatsApp sender and things like that. But yeah, I would be, it's not just going to be a case like you can with some outreach where you just burn a domain and move on to the next one. You can't just burn a WhatsApp number or WhatsApp account and then move on to the next one. You have got to build a reputation and then keep that reputation. I would dread to think that an entire Meta account could be suspended on the basis of a WhatsApp mistake, but I also wouldn't put it beyond the realms of possibility when it comes to Meta. And I think anyone that's tried to rescue a Meta account from suspension or something would tell you that that's probably not a line to tread.
Yeah, I would agree. As someone who has fallen foul of Meta in the past, you're not going to speak to anybody. You can do all the posts you like. You are not going to get to speak to anybody. But I think in that way, it's quite interesting new ground we're breaking with WhatsApp, because email as a channel is not owned by anybody. SMS as a channel is not owned by anybody. WhatsApp as a channel is owned by someone. So I think that I suspect if WhatsApp takes off in the way we suspect it will, in a few years' time, we will be talking less about consent and is the in the level of sending that the customers are happy with, but the level of sending that Meta is happy with you doing and their level of how happy the customer has to be, in the same way as we, you know, we talk about the need to stay on the right side of Amazon and customer services and all that kind of stuff. Rich, is there anything else people need to avoid these mistakes before we finish this bit of our chat?
I think I would just say, again, like, there's what Meta thinks of your behavior and what Meta, you know, but again, just a bit like with the consent thing, just bring it back to the customer. I think the only way you're going to get into WhatsApp, it's like a real third level of engagement and trust. I think, again, speaking from UK market where WhatsApp is quite sacred, you know, we all use it for families and things. I think if someone lets you into WhatsApp, that is a real like show of trust. Don't breach that trust, because, you know, if they don't like your emails, they can just unsubscribe. But I think a WhatsApp breach of trust is going to probably run quite a lot deeper, and you would just lose that customer. You know, we've got lots of brands where they're subscription brands, and you see that they're subscribers, they're happy subscribers, they purchase every month, but they've been unsubscribed for emails for the last 6 months. They're only getting transactional messages because they just don't like it. I think if you break that WhatsApp trust, I think it could have a wider effect. So yeah, all of the things that we've just said, lean into that. There's compliance, there's not upsetting Meta. I nearly swore then, you nearly had to beat me. But I think ultimately it just needs to come down to that bond that you've got with your customer. And I think WhatsApp is a real top level of that bond, short of being on the phone to them.
Awesome. Thank you, Rich. It's been great picking your brains about all of this. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Rich's insider tips on WhatsApp and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your businesses. Everyone's talking about automation, AI, personalization, but there's one big opportunity that many are still missing. It's conversational commerce using WhatsApp. In India and the Middle East, brands using WhatsApp to engage customers are already seeing 3 times higher engagement and up to 40% more repeat sales. Yet in the UK, most e-commerce brands treat WhatsApp like a support channel, not a revenue engine. That's where Quick Engage by GoQuick comes in. It helps you turn conversations into conversions. With smart automations for cart recovery and product recommendations, Instagram to WhatsApp automation, and IA-based support. If you want to build personalized buying journeys that actually sell, not just chat, it's time to get Quick Engage by GoQuick. Book your demo now via keepopt.com/quickengage. That's keepopt.com/KWIKENGAGE. Keepopt.com/quickengage. Okay, Rich, so far we've gone deep into mistakes to avoid on WhatsApp. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of WhatsApp. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with WhatsApp, which of course includes everything we've already been talking about. Rich, are you ready for these?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
In the context of WhatsApp, I would just say caution, which I know sounds so boring and probably very different to lots of other advice and things, certainly the noise and LinkedIn and things. But we just aren't seeing really wonderful examples of great WhatsApp use. We have some tests, and one of them I'm really excited about. I think it's the perfect brand with the perfect community and stuff. And I'm really hoping that we can be one of those case studies that in 2-3 months' time, people are using for their own, the basis of their own plans for launch and stuff. I think WhatsApp will be great. We just collectively need to grow it and the understanding of it being a platform where we do now converse brands and customers. That is in the context of the UK market. I appreciate, Chloe, you've got a massive worldwide audience. So that advice might be slightly different in some territories.
But I think caution with any new marketing channel is a good idea. You know, not going crazy on day one, but learning just simply because you've got to learn from your customers and how they respond to it. So I will take that as a global answer, Rich. Now, once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
I mean, it's the wider advice for all of e-commerce, but definitely in a WhatsApp specific, I would say test, test, test. You know, don't just go in with one approach on WhatsApp. And then be like, ah, well, that didn't work. And so we're going to stop WhatsApp. Like, try different approaches, try conversational, try broadcast. Like, I'm absolutely happy to be wrong and to be corrected in things. But I think definitely in the context of WhatsApp testing, I also really like the idea of, if you're not sure, call some of your top tier customers, call some of the people that have been placed orders with you, have SMS consent for them. And just ask them what they think. Like, we're going to launch WhatsApp. Would you like to talk to us on WhatsApp? Would you prefer that to email? Would you prefer it to this and things? And try and formulate your own plan based on that.
Excellent advice, as always. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there a cheap or free resource you would recommend?
I mean, cop out, not yet. And I think that's the issue, is there is no case study. Now, I am reliably informed that some really good ones are coming down the line. I did try and do some research today and found, and I've been able to point out to a couple of SaaS providers just about some like unfinished templates even on case studies that are published and stuff. I think those that are first past the post with some really good use cases and case studies that show both good customer experience and tangible ROI will be able to really profit. So yeah, hopefully we can be one of those that are first past the post in the new year with some good case studies.
Yes, having done a lot of Googling of WhatsApp myself recently and AIing of WhatsApp, there's a lot of keyword opportunity out there at the moment for WhatsApp and e-commerce. Finally, crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
I think it will be the rise, again, in a WhatsApp context, the rise of agentic commerce. I would even go as far as this, you know, I'm not just a sort of boring old far when it comes to these things. I would go as far as to say we will see agent to agent. So, you know, as a consumer, I think we're going to be using more than just ChatGPT. I think there will be bolt-ons that we'll be able to add on where we've got like a personal shopper agent that we can sort of feed into it ideas, and it can sort of go away and then bring us, right, this is what we're going to recommend. Would you like it to purchase for me? And then, of course, the brands would have their own agents there side and things. So we could see the rise of where, like, actually the transaction isn't between a human and a brand at all. It's between the two agents that represent the both. I genuinely see that as what will happen. Whether it's in the next 6 to 12 months, I don't know. But I think this is all paving the way for that level of AI and automation.
Yeah, I think it. I'm not sure if you're entirely going to be right there, but I'm a little bit less boisterous, I suppose, on getting to that agentic, two agents buying from each other for you than most. But I think that the thing which I extrapolate out of that is that we talked about, you know, training your AI agent within the tool you're using to run WhatsApp. But then you've probably got another one that you're training within your Gorgeous or your Zendesk or whatever it is you're using to manage normal customer service. And then you've probably got another one tied into email somewhere or something else. And there's going to come a point, I think, quite quickly in the next 6 to 12 months where the brands are going to want, we want one consolidated customer service agent. And we want the tech to control that in-house and then feed that out. I don't want to have to update 5 or 6 different databases when we change some of our brand stuff or when we've got some more tone of voice stuff to go out. So I think that's coming as well.
Yeah, I mean, one of my a good pal of mine is has been a voice on AI for quite some time. You know, he speaks internationally, and he like uses a line which I've stolen and repeat constantly, which is that AI isn't going to steal people's jobs. People using AI is going to steal people's jobs. And I think it's probably, I mean, if you're shopping on a Saturday evening and your customer service or your responses on your website query forms and stuff are 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, and you go to 3 brands and one of them has an AI agent and WhatsApp functionality, by the time the other 2 brands get to Monday morning and get sort of to reply to that inquiry and stuff, the sale will have already occurred if that AI agent is able to answer all of the questions and stuff that are posed. So I'd say I would be, if I was owning a brand, investing time now into starting to model this and starting to look at using it. And it is marketing and customer service is being aligned and one and the same.
Yeah, huge opportunities in that space at the moment. Well, look, Rich, we are very nearly at the end of the show. So if the listeners want to get in contact with you, how can they find you and your business?
LinkedIn is a good place to find me, especially, I mean, if this is going out on January the 21st, I might be having a relax because I'm posting every day for some daft reason. But yeah, I'm Rich Evans on LinkedIn. There are 2 of us in similar sort of spaces. We have a quarterly call, so make sure you tag the right one because I'll lose points in our ongoing competition if not. A safer way though would be getbetter.co.uk, where, yeah, we've got web forms on there and things.
Brilliant. Rich, thank you so much for coming on the Keep Optimizing podcast and for outlining so clearly key mistakes we need to avoid on our WhatsApp journeys. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
What a fascinating chat with Rich there. And I counted that as 8 mistakes to avoid when marketing with WhatsApp. So let's quickly run through those. First off, treat it like a broadcast platform. You don't want to do that. Forget that it's conversational, which I think weaves through every single one of these 8, but is worth pointing out on its own. Number 3, don't fail, or your mistake would be to fail to have marketing and customer service working together on it. It is not one channel or the other, it's both of them. Number 4, go straight in with marketing rather than service. So you want to start off with those service messages, then build in the more transactional marketing-based ones. Number 5, misunderstand consent. Got to get that right legally and in terms of the customer's reaction to it all. Number 6, fail to consider how the channel's role fits with the roles of email and SMS. Where does it fit in how much you want customers to sign up to it? Where does it fit in the type of messages you're sending out via it? You should not be sending the same stuff across all 3. Number 7, don't have an AI agent ready to respond to inbound messages. That would be a massive error on this platform. And then number 8, respect that it's a part of Meta, a more complex one. I'm not going to try and reiterate that. Rich did a great job of explaining it earlier, but it's an owned channel by somebody else. It's not the same as email and SMS, and we're going to need to get to grips with that, I'm sure, over the coming years. You can get our notes on that and the links to all the things we discussed, the full transcript of the episode, important notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. You can use keepopt.com/the number of this episode to go straight to the right page of the website. And when you get there, why not put yourself on our email list? We don't have WhatsApp yet or even SMS, but we do have email. So come and join our email newsletter. And thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, then check out episode 289, the one immediately before this one, because I think it will help you build on what you learned in this episode, because in it, Luca is explaining the ins and outs of revenue recovery strategies on WhatsApp, including abandoned carts. So we're getting super tactical in this one, whereas this episode was a bit more big thinking. That one is super duper tactical. You can also find our full thread of WhatsApp content by scrolling up your feed or use the short link keepop.com/WhatsApp to find it all on the website. And please do tell your fellow marketers about the show, because as Rich and I were discussing, this is super new stuff. So I know they need to know more about WhatsApp marketing, and that's what we're here to help them understand. Have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
If you want to build personalized WhatsApp buying journeys that actually sell, not just chat, it's time to get Quick Engage by GoQuick. Book your demo now at keepopt.com/quickengage. That's keepopt.com/KWIKENGAGE. keepopt.com/quickengage.